Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. When you choose to be a Christian, you're choosing to be a Christian for the salvation of your soul. Obviously, that is the reason to become a Christian. But I hope you also know that there's a lot of side benefits that come with being a Christian. And I say side benefits as if this is something that's incidental, and that's not true. That's not what I mean, but there's lots of benefits even besides our salvation that come with being a Christian. Obviously, you choose to be a Christian for your salvation, but there's a lot of other benefits and blessing that come with it. Just as a few examples, choosing to be a Christian comes with a lot of fellowship that you wouldn't otherwise have. As a Christian, you are surrounded by an enormous network of support that you wouldn't have without this. If you could take a minute and look around this room, there's a lot of friendships, relationships that you have because that you decided to be a Christian. You have spiritual support, emotional support, you have hospitality that you wouldn't enjoy if you weren't a Christian. I think about this sometimes. There's been numerous times that I've been in the homes of people that I don't know at all. I don't know them at all. And yet they invite me into their home like I'm part of their family. I've had this experience all over the country, even in other countries, technically. A few springs ago, Eric, Mike, myself, Jacob, we went up to Canada and we stopped at a little church in Kenora. And there was a man named there, Earl. Is that right? Earl had us over to his house. And he treated us just like we were family. He didn't care. He'd never met us before, but we shared a common faith in Christ, and that was enough. And I think about that often. I think about this is one of the great benefits of being a Christian. We were in the home of a family a few years ago out in Idaho. Same experience. They didn't know us. They'd never seen us before, but they knew that we shared a common Christian faith, and for them, that was enough. They invited us back to their home. They gave us an open invitation to come stay in their home the next time we were in Idaho, and they meant that. This is one of the benefits that comes with being a Christian. This fellowship, the hospitality, the support that you get because you share Christian faith with other people. There's other benefits too. Think about the benefits that you enjoy as a Christian just by leading a moral life. Not everyone does this, but as a Christian, you choose to lead a moral life. You choose to make good decisions. And those good decisions are to your benefit and to the benefit of people around you. On average, this may not be true of every individual person, but I would say on average, the Christian life enjoys more prosperity and fewer problems because we choose to be like Christ. Now again, this is not necessarily true in each individual situation, but on average, the decisions that a Christian chooses to make will lead you to good places and keep you away from bad places. This is one of the benefits of being a Christian. Christians also have support, not only from our brothers and sisters here in the church, but you have a spiritual support system in the form of angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. That's something you have. Maybe you don't think about it all the time, but that's something that you have that people who aren't Christians, they don't have that. How many times maybe have you averted disaster because of this spiritual support system that God has given to you? You don't know, and I don't know either. And yet, the Bible says that angels are a gift just for Christians, not for anybody else, just for you. And so you have all of these benefits that other people don't have. Among these benefits and blessings, and somewhere near the top of the list, is a topic that I want to talk about this morning, and that is peace. Among these other things, fellowship, the fruits of a moral life, support of angels, and all these other things, among them is peace. A blessing that you have as a Christian, it's not the same as your salvation, but peace is a blessing that you have as a Christian that other people don't get to enjoy. You have access to peace, a kind of peace that is simply inaccessible and maybe can't even be understood by other people who do not share your Christian faith. And so, this morning, that's what I want to talk about, is peace. And we want to understand what this peace is, And if you're not enjoying this peace that comes with being a Christian, how do you get it? Even if you do have this peace, I think it's sometimes difficult to explain what it is. And so I have a thought process I want you to consider this morning, and maybe you'll agree with this. Peace in the Christian life is freedom. Peace in the Christian life is freedom. Here's what I mean by that. Peace for a Christian is freedom from worry. This does not mean freedom from problems. God never promises us that. That's not the kind of peace that He gives us. It's not freedom from conflict. It's not freedom from problems. It's not freedom from issues that might interrupt your daily life. That's not what He means, and that's not what I mean. But peace is freedom from worry. It's the ability to confidently and rationally choose not to worry. Not everyone gets this, but as a Christian, you have access to it. The ability to confidently and rationally choose not to worry about your problems. Jesus never said He would take away the problems, but He did say that we would have peace. I want to read to you a longer passage. This is familiar to you. This comes from Matthew chapter 6. And keep this thought in mind, that peace in Christ is freedom from worry. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor are gathered into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In other words, Jesus is saying, compare yourself to the creation around you. You see these birds, you see these animals, they don't have a care in the world. They don't worry about anything. And why is that? Because God is watching them and God takes care of them. And Jesus' point is you're much more valuable to a bird. And if God supplies for the birds, then God is going to take care of you. If a bird needs not worry, and you're so much more important than a bird, then certainly you don't need to worry either. Continuing in that passage in verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, this is Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, He's going to say it again, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's a lot of lessons to learn from this passage. If we could understand this and put it to practice on a daily basis, we would have so much peace in our lives. Jesus says over and over, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And there's a few lessons to learn. One of these is that the objective of our lives cannot be constant concern about these temporal things. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. Jesus' promise to you is God will take care of that, so you don't need to worry about it. We need not be concerned about what we'll wear. Jesus promises God will take care of that. You don't need to worry about it. Those things do not need to be our concern. I especially appreciate what Jesus says in verse 27. We understand this, but I think we really struggle to do it. Jesus says in verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, Jesus is saying, does worrying actually make anything better? Does worrying about something actually make it better? And the overwhelming majority of the time, it does nothing. If it does anything, it makes it worse. And so, in all of this, Jesus' point is that peace is freedom from that. If you can realize that there is nothing worth worrying about in this mortal life, you can have that peace. You don't need to worry about today. And Jesus says, you don't even need to worry about tomorrow. This is a lesson I feel like I just learned, I mean, literally a few months ago. I had a lot on my plate for a long time, and I did worry about it. I was constantly thinking weeks and months down the road, constantly had a list of things in my mind that I needed to do. And I don't know why, but finally one day I just realized that worrying about these things is not getting them done. Worrying about these things is not getting them done. Worrying does not make my life better. It doesn't make me do a better job. It doesn't give me a better product when I do accomplish these things. And this is true for all of us. Worrying doesn't make things better. It makes things worse. And when we realize that, that is freedom and that's peace. So that's part of what this peace is that God promises to us. Peace is freedom from worry. We had a brother in the church not so long ago, you know who I'm talking about, lost everything when he lost his wife. And at the time, I remember a lot of us thinking, how does he still have his mind? How does he still have his mind? He lost his wife, ended up with two houses, accumulated a massive amount of debt through this situation, and a lot of us were thinking, how does he still have his mind in this situation? And I think for him, it's this exact topic. You can lose everything and still have the Lord, and you still have peace. So peace is freedom from worry. Peace is also freedom from fear. Not freedom from enemies, not freedom from persecution, but the ability to confidently and rationally choose not to worry about enemies, to choose not to worry about persecution. This is basically what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Once again, God calls our attention to the way that he takes care of the birds. They're sold for just a few pennies, and yet God is even watching them. And so if God is watching them, God is watching you. And so there's no need to be afraid. This kind of peace that we can have in the Lord, freedom from worry and freedom from fear, this is unique. You can't find this anywhere else. You can only find it in Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus says there that he gives us a peace that the world does not give. So what is it about Christian peace that is different than peace that a person in the world might find? Well, people in the world definitely do experience peace, but it's not necessarily this kind of peace. To get peace in the world, things have to be different. When the world offers peace, the world also requires compromise. When the world offers you peace, the world also requires compromise. The world says, if you want your problems to go away, you're going to have to give up something. You'll have to give up some of your convictions. And even if you do get a little peace in the world is never going to last long. Once you settle one issue, that issue evolves into a different issue. Peace in Christ is different from this. Peace in Christ does not necessarily require compromise, but it does require conviction. Peace in Christ is also secure. Once you have peace in Christ and you learn what it's like to be free from worry, to be free from anxiety, to be free from fear, no one can take that from you. No one can take that from you. Peace in the world is different. If we're looking for peace that the world offers, the world peace that we talk about sometimes, all of that comes and goes so easily. It can be taken. But no one can take your peace in Christ. It's yours. It belongs to you. Only you can choose to let go of it. So that's what peace is. When I think about the peace that we have in Christ, it's those things. Freedom from worry. You might say freedom from anxiety and freedom from fear. Peace in Christ is those things. So if you don't have that peace, how do you get to it? How do you find it? Acquiring peace from God does require a little effort, requires a little focus. God gives this peace, but we have to make the decision to take it and to keep it. And so if you don't have peace, if you're a Christian and you don't have peace, rest assured God has already done His part. God has already done what He is going to do to give you peace in life. If you don't have peace, it's on you now to make the decisions that will lead you to a place of peace and freedom. And I think peace requires sacrifice. Peace in the Lord requires sacrifice. To have peace, to start with, we have to be willing to give up fleshly thinking. A lot of the problems that we have in life, and a lot of the reasons that we are robbed of our peace, or we give away peace that we might otherwise have, is because of our fleshly thinking. The Apostle Paul talks about this exact thing in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. That's where that road ends. To have our minds constantly focused on fleshly things, on carnal things, that road, Paul says, ends in death. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded leads to a place of peace. And it really makes sense. When we are constantly worried about the things of this flesh, it does take away peace. And wasn't that what Jesus was saying? Jesus said, you don't need to worry about your clothes. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. All of these things are fleshly concerns. And we put the spiritual focus first, those things get taken care of. If we are constantly worried about physical things, like how we look, like the money we make, like the cars that we drive, you will never have peace. You just won't. If those things really matter to you, you will never have peace. You'll never have as much money as you want. You'll never feel like you look as nice as other people. You'll never feel like your car is as good as anyone else's. Right? This is the point that Paul is making. Those are all physical, fleshly thoughts. Those are all fleshly thoughts. And if we actually care about those things, we'll never have peace. Let me give you a really silly example. I really enjoy deer hunting. And it is possible, this may come as no surprise to anyone, especially not my wife, it is possible to care too much about deer hunting. But I do like it. And last week, I had an experience that would have just ate me up like a few years ago. I wish I could say, you know, like back when I was a teenager. No, a few years ago, this would have ate me up. I was in the deer stand and I had a nice buck walk right underneath my stand and he got away and I didn't get to shoot that deer. I mean, I'm not joking. A few years ago, that just would have ate me up for the rest of deer season. I would have had dreams about it. I couldn't stop thinking about it. You're laughing, but I'm serious, right? So after church, you can tell me your embarrassing stories of things that would bother you and take away your peace. But that's mine. Things like that used to bother me so much. And eventually, you start having kids, and you realize there's so many other things that are much more important. And so many things that are just about a zero, that aren't worth taking away your peace. So right now, we're talking about how to get to a place of peace, to really experience a place where there's no worry, you have to stop worrying about the things that aren't worth worrying about. Stop worrying about the things that aren't worth worrying about. If you were to make a list of the things that are worth worrying about, it's not a very long list, is it? I mean, really, if you make a list of the things that are worth taking away peace in your life, it is not a very long list. And so Paul here is saying that if you want life and peace, it's to be spiritually minded. and to mature to a point where fleshly things, physical things, temporal things, carnal things don't worry you anymore. That is the first step in finding a place of peace. So, to have peace, give up fleshly thinking. To have peace, very closely related to that, give up your selfish desires. And really, in some ways, these are one and the same. If you want peace, give up your selfish desires. There's an example of this in Romans chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. And let me give you the context. Something we can all appreciate is having differences of opinion. And this is true now. It was true in the early church. In the early church, some of the things that they argued about were, should we celebrate the Sabbath day? Should we not? Should we celebrate the Passover? Should we not? Should we eat meats offered to idols? Should we not? Should we drink wine? Should we not? There's all these things they were debating about. Some of those things we still debate about today. And part of what the Apostle Paul teaches is all of those things get in the way of peace. And so here's what he says in Romans chapter 14, verses 15 through 19. If your brother is grieved because of your food, and really what he's talking about is if you choose, in this context, they were talking about if you choose to eat meats offered to idols, and it grieves your brother, if it causes your brother to stumble. So if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Paul is not saying that we have to give up our convictions. He's not saying that at all. But he is saying that sometimes our convictions, our very strong opinions, can get in the way of peace. And here he's not necessarily talking about our internal peace as much as he is talking about peace in the church. But I still think that idea applies. As we pursue selfish things, as we let our personal opinions become an obstruction to our relationships, all of this breaks down peace. And so the thought there is we have to be very careful what we care about and what we're willing to let take away our peace. To have peace with God and to have peace in our souls, you may have to make another sacrifice. In fact, to have peace with God and peace within yourself, you may have to sacrifice everything else in your life. So I started this section by saying that peace requires sacrifice, requires sacrificing fleshly thinking, requires sacrificing your selfish desires. And now I want to point out that sometimes God says, if you actually want peace, you need to be willing to give up everything else too. Let me read you a passage that's going to seem a little ironic at this moment. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. What did Jesus say about peace? Did Jesus say he came to bring peace? Sort of a complex question. Because Jesus said he did bring peace, and yet he also says, I did not come to bring peace. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace. Is that not ironic? I'm sitting here telling you, standing here telling you, the importance of having peace as a Christian, how precious peace can be to you as a Christian. And yet Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Verse 35 of that chapter. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. In other words, Jesus is saying, when I come to you, and when you choose to accept me, I won't always give you a state of peace. Sometimes things will be broken apart. For he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. How do we reconcile these ideas together? It depends on the type of peace that we're talking about. If we want peace with our family, if we want peace with our friends, if we want peace in the world, you will not have, you may not have, the peace that God offers you. Having peace with God is sometimes in conflict with even having peace in your own family. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you want peace with me, if you want eternal peace, if you want peace in your soul, then that might mean not having peace in other places in your life. That's the message Jesus has. And then last of all, what does it take to get peace? I saved this scripture for last because this is it. This last scripture I'm going to read to you summarizes everything that we want when it comes to peace. And it gives us a pretty solid formula for acquiring that peace. In addition to the other things that we've talked about, sacrificing fleshly thinking, sacrificing selfish desires, being really willing to sacrifice anything, this last thing, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that's what we want, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So in other words, Paul says, if you want peace, pray. That's what he says. If you want peace, take all of those worries that you have, take all of the anxiety, all of the concerns, and just let God deal with it. Not that you have no role in this, not that God won't require action on your part, but the fear, the anxiety, the worry, let God have all of that. Be anxious for nothing. I think the Apostle Paul means this just as literally as he says it. Anxiety and worry are exclusive of peace. You can't have both at the same time. They will always compete with each other. What God wants you to have is a life so full of peace and a Christian mature enough that you learn to let go of that anxiety, the worry, and the fear. Be anxious for nothing, and by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then when that happens, when we learn to pray to God about the things we worry about, when we learn to pray to God about our fears and our anxieties, God takes that. And what He gives to you is peace that surpasses all understanding. One of the reasons that we sometimes struggle to explain peace in Christ is because it can't always be explained. Paul says this is peace that surpasses understanding. I was talking about this topic a few weeks ago at the Flat Rock and Summersville congregations, and one of the ladies there had been through cancer. She survived that cancer, and she made a really important point that I can't really speak to because I've never had a problem like that. But she said, if I wasn't a Christian, I don't know. She said, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to go through something like cancer and not be a Christian. She said, I didn't know if I was going to live or if I was going to die, but I had peace. And to a lot of people, that doesn't even make sense. It is strange to imagine what these situations would be like if you weren't a Christian. Could you imagine having a terminal illness and not being a Christian? I mean, if you're not a Christian, your number one life objective is to stay alive. If you're not a Christian, that is your life objective, is to, number one, stay alive and then enjoy yourself along the way. And there's so much freedom as a Christian in that not being your number one objective. God either lets you live or He doesn't. And you don't even have to worry about that. You don't even have to worry about that. When God's ready to take your life, He will, right? You don't have to be so concerned even about being alive. Obviously, we take care of ourselves. Obviously, we try to make sure that we live in a way that we can fulfill God's will and take care of our responsibilities on this earth. But this is the security and the peace that surpasses all understanding. As a Christian, you can have this. Other people don't get to have it. Last thing I want to talk about this morning. If you don't have peace, why not? Well, obviously, You may not be executing some of the things that we've talked about so far. Maybe you're still hanging on to your worry, your fears, and your anxieties. Maybe you're still hanging on to fleshly thinking. Maybe you're still hanging on to selfish desires. Maybe you don't pray enough. Maybe those are reasons that in this moment, right now, you don't have peace. But there are many thieves of peace that even affect us as Christians. Maybe you have spiritual problems, and maybe that is what is taking away your peace. There's a solution to that. In fact, if you do have spiritual problems and you're experiencing sin and guilt in your life, you shouldn't have peace. If you experience guilt, this is by God's design. You're supposed to feel bad about sinning. And so the solution to that is stop sinning. And that guilt will eventually give way to peace. I think another one of the most common causes of a life that is lacking peace is family problems. If we're going to be honest here, this is one of the chief reasons that a person doesn't have peace in their lives. I know this is probably true for me. There are not a lot of things that get under my skin, but one thing that eats me up more than anything else is if there's any kind of family conflict. If someone is upset with me, I don't really get upset with other people, but when people get upset with me, when I've done something wrong, or if I see conflict in my family, I just can't take it. I don't know how other people deal with it. I don't have a mechanism for dealing with it. It just eats me up. I would say in my own life, that's one of the number one things that takes away peace. And yet, there's a solution for this, too. You think about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This is true for all people, including in our own families. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So what's Paul saying there? You do as much as you can do, and then you don't need to worry about it anymore. You do as much as you can do, as much as depends on you. Everything that you are responsible for in that relationship, you do as much as you can do to live peaceably with all people. And if there's still no peace, you can live in peace, knowing that you've done everything you possibly could have done. Another reason that sometimes we don't have peace in our lives is because of health problems. I gave this example a few minutes ago when we were talking about how sometimes peace is just unfathomable to people in the world. But health problems, I would say, is, again, one of the top reasons that we struggle to have peace in our lives. We should know, though, God is perfectly aware of our health problems. There's no issue in our lives that evades Him, that He doesn't notice. If He notices the sparrows, and not one falls to the ground apart from His will, God notices you, and He sees when you have health problems as well. And we should know that it's still true that peace can come by prayer, that peace can come by giving up worldly thinking and all the things that we've been talking about. But it's also true that sometimes these health problems are by God's design. Sometimes He takes away our peace, at least for a time, to make us stronger. This is what Paul said about himself in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul had a lot of good things going in his life, and yet God allowed him to suffer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of my revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. In Paul's life, it was necessary for him to have some weaknesses and to have some health problems. Paul didn't want that. He prayed three times that God would take that away. And yet, it was in his best interest, and it was in the best interest of the church for him to have those physical problems. Paul, once he understood that, got back to a place where he could have peace. So my message to you on that is, if you do have health problems, God knows this, and God is letting that occur for some good reason. And so let it go on and learn to have peace. Spiritual problems, family problems, health problems, none of these things qualify as a good reason to have a life without peace. When these things take away our peace, we become a prisoner to them. I told you peace is freedom. A lack of peace is slavery. That's the way I see it. Peace is freedom. A lack of peace is slavery. If you worry, you are a slave to that worry. If you have fears, you are a slave to those fears. If you have anxiety, you become a slave to those anxieties. What God promises you is the ability to escape all of those things and have freedom. So that's God's promise to you. That's my message this morning. As always, I hope that I at least gave you something to think about and meditate on this week. This morning, if you are not yet enjoying the peace that passes understanding that comes with being a Christian, there's a very simple process for coming to that place of peace. Accept Christ as your Savior, declare your faith in Him, confess Him, choose to repent, and be immersed in the waters of baptism. If you need that, or if you have any other needs, we can take care of it now as we stand and sing.